Can't see my date. Okay. And wow, man, you guys know each other up here. I was telling Barbara, what's my first job? And she told me right away. I go, we're good. But we want to welcome you one more time here tonight to our marriage rendezvous. We're pretty excited about being here this evening. And I know that God has so much planned for all of us. And tonight, we're gonna jump right in real quick. Like I said, thank you for coming. Valentine's is a day, is always a different type of day. We really never have our events on Valentine's Day. We usually have it on a different day because people have different things going on. But we decided to do that this day because we thought, you know what, well, we really needed to make this day special. And so we're so grateful to see you, those of you that are here. You're investing in your marriage. And I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation. I know I speak for Sister Barbara and myself, both, that we want to thank the Lord for our salvation and what God has done for us. God did a miracle in our marriage. And we're not going to get into our testimony a whole lot tonight or anything like that. But many of you know that God has really done a miracle in our marriage. And also, we want to thank God just for this, for the examples. Examples like you saw up here and different examples of people that have shown longevity. There's many in this room that have shown longevity. And especially our founders. I think about our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. And you know, they've been married for way over 50 years. And they've been in the ministry for 50 years now. And man, it was so busy and so full of vision. And yet, God has continued to bless them. And so we're so grateful for their example. And we want to speak tonight. We're going to be speaking on the subject of we don't talk anymore. And I didn't bring my hammer. And she doesn't have a nail. Because we fixed that a long time ago. Amen? But I'm going to turn it over to Sister Barbara at this time. I'm going to read one scripture. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Amen? And it reads like this. And then the New Living Translation reads, three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let's pray real quick, would you? Father, we love you. We thank you for this beautiful atmosphere that we're in tonight. Thank you for all the hard work that everybody's put into it, Lord, and everything that we've done here this evening. We thank you, God, that you have brought us together this evening for this moment now, Lord, that you can speak to us, that you can share your heart with us, Lord. And I pray that you use us tonight to share about a few of the things we've done, we've learned in our life experience, Lord. Father, we pray, God, that the Spirit of the Lord would just would move in us and through us, my God, and speak to every heart here tonight. Father, we thank you for your love, my God. There's no greater love than your love. You loved us so much that you were willing to sacrifice your own self for it, for us, for our sins and for the sins of mankind. And we're so grateful tonight, my God, for your love. Now we pray only that, God, that love, my God, would transcend through us, my God, and that you would use us, my God, to love your people. We love you. We give you praise. I'm thankful this evening for my beautiful wife, my God. This year we'll be celebrating so many years, my God, 40 years of being married, and 40 years, my God, of just loving one another, learning how to love one another. We love you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a good shout of amen. Amen.
Just before you leave, I was thinking about that when we were dating, this scripture right here.
You going to sing to me?
Okay. Yeah. This scripture right here, while we were dating, was real powerful. And the reason why it was is because he had his favorite aunt and uncle who were a big influence in his life. And he took me over to eat dinner at their house one night. And I remember at the end of, to introduce me to them. And I remember at the end of the night, his aunt, they didn't know we were getting married yet or anything. She went and she got this plaque. She was a Christian. And this scripture was on it. And she said, I don't know why I'm giving you this, but I really feel that God wants you to know that you're going to be together and that it's going to be love that keeps you together. God's love. And so I really, truly believe that with all my heart, that no matter what you go through in marriage, love is what glues you together, and it's God's love, because on our own it's so conditional, but God's love is not. So thank you for loving me, babe.
Well, can I thank you, and can I tell you that you look actually gorgeous.
Oh, just for you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go sit right over there and just watch you. Okay. All right. I got since we've been together loving you weather. My God, I'm worked up over here.
Oh, And you know, one of the other things that we used to do when we were younger, and you know, 40 years sounds like a long time, but let me tell you, it goes by so fast. It doesn't feel like that at all. It just feels like every year has gotten better and more improved, and God's, you know, just given us more love for each other and equipped us for marriage. Because you have to be equipped, and it's done through God's word. Amen. The other thing that he used to do, he used to love flowers in my hair. I put one side back like that, and he'd always give me a fresh flower for my hair. And flowers have been really instrumental in our marriage as well. Every year he gives me fresh flowers. And it's just, it doesn't, you know, I don't have to have them, but this is something he's always done. No matter what, he's always given me fresh flowers. Now he's gone the extra mile, and he just doesn't give me fresh flowers, but he goes and he buys the flowers he wants, and he makes his own arrangement. Excuse me? Beautiful. I mean, it's just really precious. And these are the things that you do intentionally so that you can always stay married. Amen? So tonight we're looking at a couple of things. We've entitled this Marriage Rendezvous. We don't talk anymore. So how many of you know what a rendezvous is? For those of you that don't, I wasn't quite sure, so I wanted to get the exact meaning of it. It means a meeting place, an agreement place for two or more persons. It means to meet in a certain place. It means connection and agreement. And we know that in order for two people to become one and have those meeting times and those times that they are meaningful and fruitful and God can do what he wants, that you definitely have to have an agreement and a connection. And connection doesn't come overnight. It comes through time. We really believe that connection comes through communication. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of the return is drawing near." So we know that Jesus is coming. We can feel it. The signs of the time are all around us. And we also know that the enemy would love to keep us from coming together. Now, this scripture, we use this as church, coming together in church and in fellowship together. But tonight we're using it in the contents of marriage. Because if you don't come together and if you don't meet together and you don't encourage each other, who will? Because I'm telling you right now, the enemy has a plan. He has a plan to set you up for failure, marriages, and this is real stuff. He'll send somebody to talk to your spouse if you don't. So it's important that you talk, amen? It's important that you talk, especially as time is growing more and more evil, and as people are talking less and less, and as communication has gotten so twisted. It's very important that you really talk and that you agree, amen, and that you connect. When we were younger, we met in dating times. We met together. We were intentional about the dates that we were going to go on. Now some of you couldn't even remember your last date. Before, we were intentional. We planned it. We decided this is what we're going to do. And we came together. And then when we had the date, we didn't just sit there across from each other. Have you ever been to a restaurant? I think I've said this before. And there's couples there, and they're just staring at their phones, not at each other, looking around, no communication whatsoever. Something has been lost along the way. And it's so sad because it's sacred, amen? Conversation is very sacred. It's important to God and it's important to us. He gave us, yes, one mouth and two ears so we can hear more, but he also wants us to talk, especially if there's things within our hearts that we really need to talk about. We have to get past those fears and those insecurities and those lies of the enemy that keep us from talking and connecting because it's very spiritual. It's a very big part of coming together. Amen? We met at the altar on our wedding day. We had a sacred talk before each other in the presence of God and with each other before our before people, our friends and our family, and we made a vow to each other. We made promises to each other. We connected. God bound us together at the altar. Then we began to make plans, and we began to communicate about our plans. What were our lives going to be like together? Were we going to have children? How many children? Were we going to buy a house? Are we going to do ministry? Are we going to go be missionaries? What are we going to do? Let's talk about it. We talked together about financial decisions. We dreamed about vacations. We went on our first family vacation, I kid you not, real vacation, 15 years after being married. Because we just couldn't afford it. That's where we were at, and that was okay. We were okay with that. We taught our girls that if we went to a hotel overnight, that was vacation. They never knew what they were missing because everything we did was fun to them. And we would go to Santa Fe. That was our big thing, and spend the night there. And to them, that was vacation. But as far as going to another state and going to, you know, Disneyland, first time was 15 years after we were married. But we talked and planned about that. We planned that for years and years and years. And finally, one day, it came to pass. And it was the best vacation. It was so spectacular that our girls still talk about it today. You make memories with your family by the little things, doing with what you have instead of worrying about what you don't. Amen? And it's those things that we did. We made plans. We made decisions. We were talking to a couple the other day that I wasn't the best financial manager when we were first married. I didn't, you know, it's not that I spent money because we didn't have it, but I just really didn't even know how to spend the money we had. And I had to learn that, and it took a long time. And I remember being so offended when my husband came to me one day and said, you know, I'm just going to take this back. You don't know what you're doing. And I said, all right, whatever. And I was upset. It hurt my heart. But really, I had to come to terms that I didn't know how to manage our finances. Well, that didn't last very long because I was determined. I wanted my husband to trust me and to depend on me for everything. And so I learned quick, and I am the best money manager that you've ever seen. Amen? Because God has given me that. God has taught me how. God has put integrity within my heart for our house and for our church. And he's taught me those things. And so I'm so blessed because of that. Absolutely blessed. But we talk about those financial decisions early on. And you should do this or you shouldn't do this. Or I'm going to take this back and we're not going to do this. And it's okay. It's okay to make decisions. And don't be so offended. If your husband stops a credit card, just let it happen. Amen. There's a reason for it. If he gives you a credit card, hallelujah. Go use it. We talked about romantic dates. We planned Valentine's Day. We still plan Valentine's Day. We planned birthdays. We still plan birthdays. We talked about being spontaneous, and we're still spontaneous. Because Pastor and I, you know, one of the things that we have learned in our marriage that not everything is celebrated on the day of, you know, not just in marriage, but because of ministry. And we're okay with that. So sometimes we're spontaneous. You know, we didn't get to do anything for your birthday. Let's go Santa Fe overnight. We can do that tonight. Let's go. And it's not a big deal. It's not a lot of money, but it's spontaneous. There's nothing wrong with spontaneous. You don't have to plan every single thing. Keep it romantic as well. Amen? And just be spontaneous. Keep the excitement there. So days when you talked about heart-to-heart things were important too. How many of you remember when you've had to have some real serious talks? We've had to have some real serious heart-to-heart talks. Stuff that was inside our hearts that we needed to share with each other. How were we going to do that? We had to pray it through. We had to ask the Lord, especially myself. I'm the type of person, or I was, and I've gotten better, that I didn't quite know how to communicate effectively. I didn't know how to quite speak what was really on my heart. And I had to trust God to teach me. I had to trust God that he was going to help me let my guard down and open my mouth and trust my husband. But he also had to prepare him to prepare to be ready for the words that I was going to speak. Because he also now had to hear with an open heart, with a tender heart, and know the answer for me as well. And it's so important that when you're when you're growing in your marriage, that you have those healthy times. Because it's in those times, those heart-to-heart talks, that it can change the trajectory of your marriage for the good. Those times where it really can make it everything God wants it to be, because you've let each other in. Amen? So we're going to talk about how did we get to the point of not talking anymore. Because I've given you a lot of things that we've done to keep our marriage strong and talking to each other and keeping our communication strong. But there's many, many couples that don't talk anymore. Like I said, in the restaurant, I've seen it over and over and over many times. Young, old, nowadays, you know, people are so distracted with everything. And it's so sad, because communication, first God wants us to communicate with them, with him, and then he also wants us to communicate with each other. So we see communication is vital to keeping it strong, but non-communication is deadly. And we're going to show you a little video clip right now.
Look at them. This is just not right. It wasn't always like this.
I'm Chris Kalai. I'm the director of
engineering
project management
at
Sonos.
This is a new sickness.
I'm also the manager of the acoustics team.
Everyone's
prior to working
together.
At Sonos, I worked for JBL. I also
all
worked
alone.
For...
Everyone's together. All alone.
Silence.
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 Want to know how to fix it?
All right, all right, all right. Silence. It is one of the things that is one of the most detrimental thing for a couple that has been together for any length of time. Sometimes even, I'm not just talking about couples that have been around a long time, I'm talking about couples that haven't been together that long, where the thrill goes away sometimes, you know, because of the lack of communication. And maybe you've been together a couple of months, 6 months, or a year, and you're wondering, why don't we talk anymore? Or maybe you've been around 15 years or 37 years or 40 years. And you wonder, what in the world has happened? Why is it that we don't speak anymore? And how many of you want to know how to fix it? Don't throw something to the window like you saw on that. It's not going to work. Doesn't work. Tried that. Tried a lot of things. Remember when we were younger, I used to tell Barb, talk to me. Just talk to me. And she'd say, you know, silent treatment's rough, man. Anybody agree? You know what's funny when a guy tries to do silent treatment? Because a guy cannot last with silent treatment too long. You try to be all quiet for a minute. All she's got to do is say, did you try some of them cookies? Where are they? Things have changed real quick. But women, man, you guys got it. You guys are disciplined. You guys are extremely disciplined. If you go into silent treatment, you're like, you're good for like 2, 3 days, 4 days. Marathon. You can go 26 days, I think, you know, if you need to. But if you notice what we saw on the video right there, we saw couples in the same room, families in the same room, all alone in silence. They were in the same room, but they were there was silence there, and they were not talking to each other. And, you know, a good friend of mine wrote a book recently. He's come to this church, and he wrote a book. He says, has technology caused people not to communicate anymore? It's kind of something like that. I got to get the right, I didn't write it down. But it's a really good book, and I actually was one of the contributors of the title and the front page of the book, because he had like 5 or 6 of them, and he asked for votes, and the one that I voted for was one of, and many of us voted for, that's the one that won. And it really, what it does is it talks about the technology that life that we're in, the kind of this is the society that we're in with video everywhere on every device. I mean, I have video on my watch, on my iPhone, on my iPad. You walk anywhere now in most stores, there's video going everywhere. You go through airports, there's video everywhere now. There's always a distraction with something. Like Sister Barbara said, you go into a restaurant and you'll see four or five people at the table, and everybody has their phone on. Everybody's looking at their phone, checking their Facebook or checking their text. And this is kind of like a new sickness in our society. It's no longer just the silent treatment. It's like you can just turn people off and just go to the phone until they're ready to talk. And if you think about, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, you think about Adam and Eve, and you think about them. They didn't have a video. They didn't have cell phones, and they didn't have any kind of technology. But they still had, not distractions, but they were naming all the animals. Adam was naming all the animals. And there was, can you imagine the Garden of Eden, how beautiful it was? And you think about them and their communication and the way they took care of each other. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Adam and Eve, very well, you know, when you hear about, well, what happened? What happened to the millions of years what the scientists talk about and all the dinosaurs and all this? And you have all these questions about time. And you got to remember, before sin, time was not an issue. Before sin came, time was not an issue. There wasn't a clock. Nobody got sick. Nobody died. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no death, no nothing. Life was just amazing. And Adam and Eve, in the garden, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God had commanded Adam to tend the garden, to tend to the land, to tend to everything, to tend to his spouse, to tend to everything. And you look at what happened, the occurrence of Eve's communication with Satan, and you look at the way the devil came in and the way he grabbed a hold of her ear, which led to her heart and which led to the downfall of her husband not being at the same place with her. And we see that the garden had become, there was destruction that came in the garden instead of with the plan that God had for the garden. See, a quote, I think it was Siobhan that put this quote the other day, and I read it. Sister Barbara read it, and I said, wow, we talked about it. And I like what it said. It says, Satan spoke with Eve alone because if he spoke with Adam and Eve together, they would have stayed united. And see, for some reason, they were apart. For some reason, they were off on their own. So we don't know what happened, if maybe Eve got a little bored, maybe Adam was sleeping on the job, or if he was bored and he took a little walk the other way, and what was hand in hand, for a moment they let hands, and somehow she made her way over to the tree, and somehow maybe some people have said it like this, that he might have been asleep under another tree or just hanging out or whatever, you know, doing whatever. And you think about Adam and Eve, you think about where was Adam, where was Eve? Eve was listening to the devil, and Adam was nowhere to be found. People try to say, if it wasn't for Eve, we wouldn't be in trouble. And then other people say, well, if it wasn't for Adam, Adam should have been, he should have been close to mama. He should have been right there. Somehow there was not a breakdown in communication between them, but the moment there was just a little space with them and they weren't speaking and they weren't in communication, it left a door for the devil. It left a door for the enemy to come in and create something. You see, if Adam would have been with her, the enemy would have not had to be able to deceive her because he knew that he couldn't penetrate their unity. So Eve was caught alone and snared by the words of the enemy. And Adam had no choice because he wasn't around. If he had been around, he could say, hey, stop. Get behind me. But he wasn't there. That's why unity is so important. And unity comes through communication. Because the only way Sister Barbara and myself are in unity is when we converse and we come together and we agree. When we're in agreement, when we look at each other and say, listen, we're in agreement about this, then there is a supernatural anointing that comes upon that agreement, and that nothing that we put our hearts to is impossible. Why? Because we're in agreement. But when we're not in agreement and there's not communication, then we begin to see that there's room for question, there's room for the enemy to come and begin to lie or deceive and begin to talk to us and say, well, maybe she doesn't understand me and he doesn't understand me. And so we've had to go through these in 40 years. We've learned these things. We've learned these principles so that we wouldn't be here now had we not really learn them, if we would have swept it under the carpet and just acted like everything was okay, like in the early days, we had to learn. It was absolutely crucial for us to learn from our mistakes. So good communication develops unity. We need to talk about the important things in life. And you know what? Not just the important things. The small things are important too. But you know what? Sometimes we sweat the small stuff too much. I mean, we really do. If you think, I apologize. I got a runny nose tonight, man. It hit me today. But I'm toughing it out. I believe this with all my heart, that the small stuff will get you. The Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And it's those little things. It's the rock in the shoe. It's the splinter in the hand. It's the thing that seems to get to you more than the big things. Like, you go through this big old ordeal and nothing, you're good. You're okay. But then you got a little sticker in your hand that's like, oh my God, this thing is bugging me. And you keep on trying to get it out and you can't get it out. That's what small stuff is. When you sweat the small stuff in it and you keep on at it. And when it does, it piles up so much that it creates silence. Think about the problem of not communicating. What causes it? After our life experiences that we've shared, we've found that it's the miss that gets in the way. Don't look at me funny. Like, miss who? It's the miss that gets in the way. It's the misinterpretation. It's the misunderstanding. The miscommunication that gets in the way. Huh? And some of those things can really lead to silent hurt or to pain and sometimes to shut down and even cause us not to want to talk anymore. So the question we have here is, why is it we don't talk? Now, there's many of you in this room who say, we talk all the time. Man, I talk about my football team, I talk about my grass, I talk about my things, and I talk about my job, and I talk about like she's interested up to a certain point, brother. And at a certain point, she turns you off. She's just like, you don't know it yet, but she does. If you just talk about yourself and your stuff all the time, she's like, oh, awesome, no, you're, I love you. And then inside, she's like, oh, God. Did he notice that I've lost some weight? Did he notice that I colored my hair or that I got some streaks in up in it? I'm streaking it all up in there. Or did he notice I did my nails or that I've been using some stuff on my face? I'm looking younger. Did he notice? And your sister, on the other hand, let me share something with you a little bit. Sometimes if that's all you share, that your old man comes home and all you share about is every issue and problem you've been through all day long, it's like he cares. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Oh, my God, maybe should I take little Johnny in the room and give him a little rod of correction or something like that? Man, he did it. How many times did he do that? Oh, my God, really? Let me go talk to him. He'll do that stuff, but after a while, he's going to turn you off. And the way he does it, you know how he does it, he says, okay, well, I've had it already like that. Click. Hey, dinner's ready. Okay, good. Click. It's like, silence can be more than just being quiet. And a lot of times, we don't even understand why we don't talk anymore. You can use the excuse, well, we're like two ships in the night. You know, I got a different schedule than you got. You got a different schedule than I have. And, you know, it's just going to, we love each other, and you're just going to have to put up with that schedule. Okay, yeah. For the livelihood and for the fact of, paying the mortgage and doing all the things you got to do in life, okay, those things, that's a good excuse. But there comes a day where you must understand that there has to be conversation and much more than just the weather. There has to be conversation and not just about problems that occur. Because if you don't talk about problems, problems usually get bigger and they never get dealt with. They're never dealt with and they become much more than a problem. Book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 14, in the New Living Translation reads, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Think about the words that we use. Now, what are some of the things that we do that break, that cause us to break the silence? Because there's been times, I'm not going to go into every detail, but there's been times when way back We don't do that. We can't stay silent. Sister Barbara and myself, we have like ruined the marathon of trying to be silent treatment. She cannot give me silent treatment for more than like 30 minutes. She used to be able to go like the marathon, 26 days. She wouldn't talk. I'd walk in, I'd go, is dinner ready? And she'd be, at the dinner be ready? She's going to respect me. And, you know, I worked and my kids were there. So she would want to show respect for her. But she'd have the food out, but she wouldn't talk. Hey, babe, I see you. Hey, I got a flat tire last night. That's why I got home at 3 in the morning. And she'd be like, she could stay silent. And I could stay silent too. I try to stay silent. But then as the time went and we got better and we got gooder and gooder and gooder and God really came in the marriage and we really just began to serve the Lord, and she would try to stay silent. We get to some like maybe some holy debate, maybe a little bit of intense fellowship. Maybe it's just a little bit of, you know, a sacred conversation until it turned into not sacred anymore, and there was problems because we hadn't dealt with things. And then all of a sudden she would shut down, or I would shut down. I'd go in the other room, and she'd go in the other room, and then it wouldn't be long. You know, one time we got this really, we had been saved, I don't know, just not too long. I mean, she'd been saved, but I hadn't been saved too long. And we got in this big argument, man. We hadn't had it out like that in a long time. We started talking, man. We were, you know what? That's your problem, I told her. You know what? You need to respect me. I'm the man of God in this house. And you got to respect me. Because you know what? You got to respect me too, because I'm a woman of God. And we just started going off at each other. We were yelling like that. We were in the hallway. We were telling each other. I go, you know what? I've had it with you. And she goes, I've had it with you too. She goes like that. And I go, well, I'm out of here. And I walked in there and I go, I went to go look to the door like I used to go to the door. And I looked at the door like, I'm not going anywhere. So I went and I sat down in the living room in the dark. I just sat there. I said, God, I need to talk to her. I need to speak to this woman, Lord. It's this woman you gave me, God. You know, it's her fault, Lord. And you know it is. You know it is. So I'm in agreement with you, right, Lord? And I'm just talking like that. And I'm like that. And there she is in the room. And she's, I don't know what she's praying. She's praying in tongues or something inside there. I can hear her talking, you know. But she's in there and she's quiet. And all of a sudden, they're just quiet. She's not saying nothing. I'm not saying. I'm just sitting there. On the edge of the chair. I never forget because that I hated those couches we had. We had bought them at, there was this like Western kind of furniture place. It was all wood and just some, I had to sit and your legs hurt when you sat on them. I hated them. I wanted to burn them, but you know, that's all we had. You know, the fire department wasn't paying me nothing. I would wear food stamps in the first 2 years of my being a fireman. And I wasn't used to that. And so she's in there and I'm sitting there uncomfortable on the chair. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know what? Lord, I know this is not what you want. I am not going to. I'm going to talk. I'm not going to. We made a vow. I'm not talking. You're not. I'm not going to talk to you. You're not going to talk to me. So she went in there. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to break the silence. I'm going to go in there and talk to her. I got to talk to her. I got to talk to her, Lord. Help me to humble myself, Lord. So I took off the couch. I walked down the hallway. I get to the right when I get to the hallway. I didn't know this, but Sister Barbara had done the same thing. She walked down, the hallway was dark, and we bumped into each other and fell down. We fell down, and we looked at each other, and we just began to hilariously just laugh. And we laughed until we cried. And I looked at her, and we were sitting down. Imagine us now. Sitting down in the hallway on each side of the wall, just laughing hilariously, looking at each other, says, what in the heck are we doing? And that night, we made a decision that night. We made a conscious decision that we were never not going to talk about our problems. We didn't say we were going to do it right in the very moment, because sometimes the moment is not the time to do it. But we made a decision we were going to talk about our problems. And from that point, we began to grow in that area. And I believe that's where God began to give us a breakthrough. So the first thing that we know that will break the silence, you have to recognize the silence. Sometimes you can be talking. You can be in the same room like the video and still be in silence. You have to look for the signs. All the read between the lines. Read the body language. Listen to what's being said. Because if you're both talking, and she says, what did I say? And you're like, you're not listening. You're not really listening. So the key to breaking and recognizing the silence is to listen. Listen to what your spouse is saying. Listen to what she isn't saying, what he isn't saying in the conversation. There may be talk, but there may be silence in the talk. Like the video we saw earlier about the nail. She didn't want to fix. She didn't want him to fix her. She says, I don't want you to fix me. I just want you to listen to me. I would have been nice if she said, I know I have a nail in my head. But she didn't know she had a nail. And there's those times that happen too. And there's some times where you just need to go ahead and listen anyway. That's a hilarious video. That's a good title, you know. It's not about the nail. But she just wanted him to listen for a few moments. The moment they listened, she felt better. Husbands, let me just give you some insight. You may think you have it all together. You may think, Pastor, I know my wife, and I know what she likes, and I know what she needs. But you'd be surprised what will happen when you just listen. Because, you know, one of the first things that we all do, even if we don't do it with our mouths, we do it inside of our head. So when we start to do it, whether you do it inside of your head or whether you do it with verbally, outspoken, then either way, the moment somebody is talking to you, the moment your spouse begins to talk to you about the very subject that is at hand that needs addressing, the moment they talk to you, either you want to jump in and give an answer right away, jump in and say, I understand what you're saying right away, when you haven't even heard a fourth of what she has said or he has said. Or in your mind, you're already thinking and you're listening to her for a moment, but you're thinking about what you're going to say right away. A lot of people do this. Not everybody. I'm sure there's some of you that have mastered the art of just saying, listening, recording it in your head, and then saying, okay, when she gives me a chance, I'm going to address these things. There's many of you in this room that probably have done that. But there, I'm going to speak to the few that have not mastered that. The few that don't understand that there is a time where you, when you listen, that's exactly what you're supposed to do, is listen to the whole. Not to the short, not to the little bit, not to the half, but to the whole thing, because the punchline is at the end. The fullness of what she is trying to say, what he is trying to say, is at the end of it. And if you jump in the middle of what she is trying to say, then you really have not even listened, you haven't addressed, and you have not understood. You have misinterpreted, you have more than likely misunderstood, and then for sure you're probably going to miscommunicate. Hello, somebody. So it's the miss that gets in the way. So look for signs, read between the lines, read the body language, listen. Listen, listen, this is the key, that I have finally learned how to listen to Barbara. She said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. She starts talking, and the moment I'm just that kind of person. The moment I say, oh, I know why. But I don't say that anymore. I'm thinking that, and now I'm saying, I rebuke that. Don't say nothing. Don't think nothing. Just listen, Linda. Listen, Linda. Listen. Listen. Second thing is that the things that are going to break the silence are, first of all, to recognize the silence, and then second and lastly, my point, is to be intentional about fixing it. But like we saw earlier, wives don't want you to fix it, everything. They want just to listen. But you know, guys are the same way. They may not admit it. It might not be in the same context. But guys want to be heard. Honey, you should see what happened today. Oh, man, Johnny was doing this, and I came and I talked to him like that. If you would have seen the way it happened, and she's like, oh, okay. Like, I've been talking to kids all day. I don't want to really listen to you. You sound like a kid. You and your Johnny sound like a kid. See, you have to learn how to listen also. It's not just women that want to hear. Now, there's not one feminine bone in my body because I am a man. I'm a male. So I don't believe in the, well, that's your feminine side. No. Because I don't believe there's any feminine side in a male, because you can't be, because you're a man. And if you're a man, then you're a man. You can't be, like, have feminine tendencies, or you can think about stuff in your brain. You might, but you're not a, you're a man. Period. And so, I still believe that men want to be heard. Men want you to listen, ladies. It's not just, I know we've heard a lot of that through the years, where women just need to be listened to and they'll be fine. The video is about the woman being listened to, but I believe men want to be heard too. Like, I believe Ben want to say that Ben want you to listen is, let me take the nail out of your head. I have a hammer right now. I have, to pry it out, not to hit it in, but to, you know, there's two sides to a hammer. There's the side that you hit, and then there's the fork to pull out the nail. God made it like that. Somehow, whoever invented it way back, one of Adam's, lineage made a hammer somewhere, wooden caveman. But we have to be intentional about fixing it. And the only way we'll be able to fix things is if we're intentional and we discuss and we talk. So we have to have an intentional meeting with each other. Sister Barbara and I have learned how to sit down and have a sit-down meeting. And don't get all hurt. Just listen, buddy. I respect you. You're my husband, you're my pastor, you're the father of my children and the grandfather of my grandchildren, and we've got to do this. You know what, honey? You are absolutely right. Tomorrow we'll do it. I will kindly pay you tomorrow for a burger today. Ooh, we've got it. Yeah, Tuesday. So we got to sit down and we got to talk, and then we got to pray for a plan. I mean, this might sound like, oh, you don't got to go through all that. But she's the woman, and I'm the man, and you're a Christian. No. You're human. Because of the humanity that we are, we sometimes have to sit down. You do it at work for the business plan. You do it amongst those of you that are part of sports. You know, we play something called fantasy football. In our church. We all have a team, and we plan it all out, and we pick our players. We could do that stuff, but can we do that in our marriages? Can we sit down and take a look? You do it with your work, with your business, everything that you have. You get plans. You get a plan together. You sit down and you draw out a plan. You engineer some type of plan so that things will work properly and it'll be successful. Well, then, what's the difference with a marriage? What is more important? Those things will last 20, 25, 30 years, 40 years of career? Or a marriage that lasts beyond you, lasts your children, your children's children, and so forth and so forth. And so we had to pray for a plan. And then sometimes you might need a mediator or a counselor just to get talking again. Sometimes, I've counseled many couples that haven't been talking to each other for like a month. 2-3 weeks, or they've been talking to each other, but they weren't totally honest with each other, and they kind of weren't talking freely, and then you sit there and talk with them for just say, so what's the problem? And he starts saying that this is the problem, and she goes, I didn't know, and then he says, and then she goes, well, this is what I was feeling, he goes, and I didn't know, and then all of a sudden, we're just going to leave now, we'll see you guys later. They start talking, and before you know it, they fix the problem, and brother, a lot of times, if you just let your wife talk, she'll fix things. She'll say some things just to say, oh, I do have a nail in my head. That's because the video had her doing it. I could be him. It could have been him. If they would have done him, I'd be saying it was him. Don't be prideful. The devil will use silence to destroy your garden. I tell you right now that your garden is precious, brother. So I'm going to just address you for a few moments. I'm getting ready to call Sister Barbara back up. Your garden is precious. And that garden that God has given you to tend, He's given it to you to tend because it's your responsibility, it's your stewardship, He's given it not just to manage, but to love that garden, and to love what is in that garden. And what is in that garden is your spouse. There's a few couples in here that in the future you're going to get married, and you're thinking about it. I want you to understand how important your garden is. Your garden is to be taken care of. I was a person who planted and maintained many gardens in my life, many, many big gardens, two huge gardens. I mean, my other house where I lived at, we moved away 20 years ago. This long piece of land that went all the way up to Zuni like that. And I had this big, huge garden every year, and I planted everything, every kind of melon, every kind of chili, every kind of yellow hot jalapenos, and I had it all. I had watermelons and just everything, potatoes. I had onions and leeks, and I had radishes, and I had it all, and I made sure that garden didn't have the kind of weeds, the weeds that, that shouldn't be there. And the ones that would grow with them, I let them be there because, you know, if you try to pull them out, you'll pull out some of the roots. So I just took care. I watered it carefully. I made sure that everything was, I harvested everything. I planted cauliflower. I even had all kinds of different vegetables and cabbage. And I just, I loved it. I got all the seeds. And that's all I pretty much did my whole life was just about that. And I learned how to tend a garden. What was amazing is that I was tending this garden outside, and my greatest garden was inside, all alone, in silence. My precious wife. There I was, a master of the garden. A manicured garden. A beautiful, where my neighbors would look over and say, wow, that's a beautiful garden with cucumbers that would just, you know, and squash, different types of squash, broccoli, numerous amount of different vegetables. And here I was, a master over this garden and a failure of the garden that meant more to me than anything. That was my precious wife on the inside of the house who was in there taking care of the rest of the garden, our kids. I didn't get this revelation until a number of years later. So I was in a marriage class at a conference, and the speaker said that husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, in a cognitive way, in an understanding way. In other words, really understand who they are. I didn't understand who Barbara was. She was the love of my life. She was beautiful, mother of my children, but I didn't understand who she was. I did not really understand my responsibility to tend my garden. Yet, here I knew how to tend a physical garden and was a failure. And so I made it my business. I made it my lifelong journey to make sure that I took care of my garden, took care of the garden that God had given me. See, don't be prideful. Don't be deceived into thinking that everything's just good because there just may be a nail in your head. Keep it positive. Make a decision to start talking. And make sure that you always, always pray in the beginning and the end of a conversation that's going to possibly cause silence, possibly going to cause a little friction between you and each other. Amen? Get something out of that? Communication. It's very vital. See, words, the words that we speak when we do start to talk, when we do start to talk, it's put it here. We do start to talk. Sometimes we have to be real careful about the words we use, you know. And they can bring a lot of life and vitality to your marriage, but words can also bring a lot of division and discord, because a lot of times we speak in the heat of the moment. We don't have a lot of time because time and busyness and technology and school and work and this and that and everything else renders us, it seems like we don't have any time. That's why it's real important for you to plan some time where you actually sit down across from each other with no phone in hand and no distractions from televisions and iPads and kids pulling on your strings and say, I need 5 minutes with you and that you hear me out, and I'll give you 5 minutes so I can hear you out. And you do that and you say, that's all it was. I can't believe you haven't talked to me in 3 days. That's all it was, honey. Had I known 3 days ago, I would have taken the trash out.
So we've heard a lot about words tonight, but we really have to understand, we really feel strongly in our spirits that the biggest thing that the Lord wants you to understand is that there's power of life and death in your tongue. And you'll either bring life to your marriage or you'll kill it with your own mouth. And the words you stay away from are, she never, he never, I can't, we won't, it's impossible, I don't know how. Those are all negative, because God is totally opposite of that. He says that all things are possible. All things are possible. And breaking that silence barrier is something that has to happen tonight. It's broken by deciding that tonight you're going to begin to start to, you're going to make a decision to speak kindness and encouragement, that you'll eliminate things that will cause confusion or misunderstanding or mistrust or misinterpretation.
And how you do that, is by thinking about what you say before you say it. Because when we're heated a little bit, sometimes we get heated, you know, not all the time, but we get heated. If I say something heated, I'm probably going to say a little more. I'm going to add a little more frosting to the cake than I should, you know, a little bit more. I'm adding a little bit too much sugar to the coffee, or what do you want to call it? You know what I mean? It's like a little too much. And so that's why it's important to be calm a little bit calm, and you know, and not let the nail bother you that much. If you do, you'll say something that you shouldn't say.
So the Lord has called us here tonight, and we really are here at a meeting place because the Lord has called us. And I want us to all stand as we come to a close, and Siobhan can come to the piano. And if Leslie can begin to pass out, Leslie and Devin, we have this thing that we're going to do tonight. You don't begin to read it yet. Just hold that in your hands. But we're at a meeting place because God's called us to come into agreement. He's challenged us to begin to talk the way we're supposed to talk. He's challenged us to love unconditionally the way He loves. He has loved us unconditionally. That's the biggest thing that keeps Pastor Danny and I strong in our marriage, is if Jesus loved us, why can we not love each other?
Yes.
If Jesus forgave us, why can we not forgive each other? If Jesus communicated His love to us, why can't we communicate with each other? If He did all that for us, we can do that for each other.
Sure.
Because we are a representation of Christ in the church.
So we've been challenged to do some things. We need to really take a look at and recognize the silence. Even if there's a lot of talk, there could be silence in the talk. Or there could just be all-out silence. And that's secret pain. It's hard on anybody. It's hard on anybody until you realize it. You may be going about life just being like, oh, everything's just nice, perfect, absolutely awesome. But then it's not really perfect, not really awesome, because one in the family, one in the marriage is just not saying anything. So it's so important for you to discuss things. See, misinterpretations cause a whole lot of things. Misunderstandings have caused more divorces. Miscommunication. Not, you know, how many times have you talked about something and said, I didn't realize you said that. I didn't know. I perceived a whole different thing. And that miscommunication can often ruin marriage. You know, the lack of communication is like a silent death. I can't even, for the life of me, you say, why is that people after 30, 40, 50 years get a divorce? How in the world they live each other for so long and they just go get a divorce? It's like, it's mind-boggling. But you got to remember, a lot of people, they suffered silently in that for so long, they finally said, enough is enough. I can't do this another decade. And so we really wanted to talk about this subject because I believe it's an issue that's in our technology, in our busy lives, and it's just a natural thing that the devil will try to use against you to break down the unity that has always belonged to us in the marriage. The unity that started in the garden, I believe there'll be a greater unity in the end times because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of God's love and His anointing on our lives. So we need to recognize the silence. We need to be intentional about fixing it. I think you just coming here tonight, came on a date here tonight, came here to have a good time. I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of the Lord is here right now. I believe God is really speaking to us. I believe that as we tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something very special. I'm going to ask you to take your spouse. Now, those of you that are married, you won't be doing this. But those of you that are married, those of you that are not married are going to, not going to be doing this. But those of you who are married, I want you to take your spouse, two hands. I want you to look each other in the eyes. Right in the eyes. We're going to say a prayer in just a few moments. But before we do that, I want to explain something. We're going to do two things tonight. We're going to fix some things in the spirit. because you may not even be aware. One of you may not even be aware. We're not going to. Tonight's not a counseling session. Tonight is this is the rendezvous right now. This is a moment in time that you are meeting together. This is actually a Holy Ghost rendezvous in this very moment. And what we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer. When we say that prayer, after we come out of that prayer, I want you under the influence of the Holy Spirit that if you feel like you need to ask for forgiveness, then do so. If you don't, you say, no, we're good. And you both agree that you don't, then don't have to do it. But I really believe that if you took anything out tonight, one of these points may have hit you so hard, you might say, you know, I didn't realize I'm not listening. Or I didn't realize that we're silent, that we're busy. So I'm going to ask you to hold hands, look each other in the eyes. While I pray, I don't want you to close your eyes. I want you to look at each other while we pray. Mr. Barber's going to start, and I'm going to finish the prayer, and we're going to come back.
Father, we come before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, say, Lord, I thank you for my spouse. Lord, you see many, many couples here tonight, God. Some may be going through things, some may not, God. But you know what happens behind every closed door. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your Holy Spirit to bring a divine touch upon each marriage right now, upon the husband being the priest of the home, and upon the wife, Father God, who is the heartbeat of the home, God. We pray a special anointing right now of unity and communication and healing, Father God. And we bind every force of darkness that has been assigned to these marriages. In the name of Jesus, the lack of communication, the misinterpretation. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you give each couple in this room the ability to communicate freely, Father God. Freely, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Love you, Father. Father, we thank you, God, that even this moment, this very moment, Lord Jesus, you were doing something so deep. Lord God, you are breaking the curse of silence. You are breaking, my God, the wedge that possibly has come between couples, my God, because of our busy lives, because of all our responsibilities. And we have used them, my God, as sometimes excuses, good excuses. Nonetheless, they're excuses, Lord. We have used them, my God, to literally, my God, bring silence to our conversation, silence, my God, to our family, silence to our marriage. And thus, my God, has caused us, my God, to bring a wedge. I pray, Father, that the power of your Holy Spirit begin right now to remove that wedge out in the name of Jesus. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to stay right there with your, as you keep your hands, holding hands right here. I want you to, we're going to sing this verse in this song. As we begin to sing this verse, I want you to repeat. It's a very simple verse. You don't have to be a singer to sing it. It's a really a worship song is what it is. It's written to the Lord. But I want you to look in each other's eyes and we're going to sing it to each other. Amen.
You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. Wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything.
Come on, sing it again to each other.
You are the love of my life.
Come on, tell it, brother.
You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. I couldn't take one step without you. could never go on. I couldn't live one day without you. I don't have the strength to do it on my own. You are the love of my life. Barbie, you're the love of my life, baby. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything.
In your hands you have a card with a heart on it. It has a simple and really cool vow that I want you to repeat to one another, one at a time. Sister, if you'll, or brother, if you'll do it first, and then sister, you can do it after him. But I want you to, brother, I'm gonna read it with you. And I know it's kind of dark. You got to open your phone, or you got to get one of the candles. They're not real candles. They're battery operated. I think that's the way Alan was doing it earlier. Still doing it like that. But I want you to take that, brother, and I want you to look right in your wife's eyes, and let's repeat to them. Once again, we stand before God, family and friends. Once again, we take each other by the hand. Once again, we exchange our vows to love, to honor, to cherish each other for the rest of our lives. Sister?
Once again, we stand before God. We stand before family and friends. Once again, we take each other by the hand. Once again, we exchange our vows to love, to honor, and to cherish each other for the rest of our lives.
You may kiss the bride. I want you to lift your hands all over this place. Let's sing that verse one more time. Larry, can you come up? You can bring your wife if you want to. Amen.
You are the love of my life.
Come on, won't you tell the Lord now?
You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches of. You are my everything. Hey, couldn't take one step without you.
I could never
go.
A marriage is threefold. If God's in the center of it, nothing will stop it. If God is in the center of your marriage, God will keep you. God will keep you no matter what. The enemy might try to destroy your garden. But oh, if you'll have the heart and you'll have the understanding. I believe with all of my heart tonight, and we'll walk away from this place. We're going to walk away from this place with understanding, with correct interpretation, and with proper communication. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the beautiful time we've had here tonight. Thank you for the anointing we feel, God, for the healing. But I believe there's healing going on in this room. I believe there's a presence of your spirit is in this room. That you've done something deep, my God, that only you could do. We love you and we give you praise. And you are the love of our lives. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for putting us together. And thank you for healing our hearts. In Jesus' name, and everyone said together, amen and amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord one good hand. Amen. We want to thank you guys. Amen. Hallelujah.